Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, October 26, 2017. I'm your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all Road Warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. Man, strange times. We'll talk about some of the stories, the latest, greatest, some of the headlines. Speaking of headlines, a quick rundown. Over at CNN, DOJ gives FBI informant green light to testify. Of course, every media outlet is reporting this, to testify on Russian uranium efforts. We'll see if that goes anywhere. But it's interesting as certain stories break, like the Harvey Weinstein story, or the Uranium One story kind of breaking wide open, or the Russia collusion story actually pointing back at the folks who were screaming the loudest about it. We have to wonder, you know, as the deep state establishment seems to be sacrificing its own, you wonder, as these bridges seem to be getting burned, perhaps even legitimately, what that portends for the future, especially for the general populace. Disney Channel debuts LGBT storyline. Yay, that's fun. It's already been pushed in everyone's face, and I guess there's nothing we can do about it except boycott Disney. That was easy. Don't watch. Don't participate. Twitter admits overstating user numbers for years. That's interesting, probably because of the astroturfing campaigns by the national military establishment dating back 4 or 5 years at least now. That's what's admitted anyway. The story of the cop accused of stealing from dying man's home in the hurricane aftermath is one that's gone nationwide and viral. And I think it's interesting just to point out that we're encouraged to believe that there are a group of people in our society, whatever group, and in some cases law enforcement are pointed to as being better than the rest of us somehow, or with somehow, you know, unimpugnable character. And that's just not the case. We're all human, and unfortunately, we're all susceptible to the same weaknesses of character, so to speak. And in this case, it seems this officer is no different, unfortunately. So there seems to be an indication of substance abuse and some other problems. So, you know, hopefully he gets the help that he needs, but it's unfortunate to see that, especially when, as a society, we're led to believe, again, that certain people, you know, and this kind of gets to the argument that, you know, only the good guys should have guns. Well, then who are the good guys? Because as Alexander Solzhenitsyn pointed out, the line between good and evil cuts through the heart of every man, and who's willing to cut out a piece of his own heart? That's reality. And so the reason to own firearms, the reason the general public should own firearms, is not for personal protection or even home protection. The Second Amendment says, it's very clear and unequivocal, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. It's about national security, so to speak. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So if we believe in national security, then we own firearms. And where is the well-regulated militia, by the way, while we're on the subject? But I digress. Next headline, Hillary Clinton unaware of dossier before it was published. It is ridiculous. Debbie Wasserman Schultz trying to say the same thing, even though the Wasserman Schultz DNC was responsible for pursuing this. Hillary Clinton's campaign, same thing. But somehow that didn't make its way to Hillary. She's just a victim in this story. Always the victim. Kind of like the Hills story, FBI watched, then acted as Russian spy, moved closer to Hillary Clinton. This, you know, kind of juxtaposing or combining, I suppose, the Russia collusion and Uranium One deal story stories. So basically, the way that this story over at The Hill, published a few days ago, reads: Hillary, poor Hillary Clinton, she was just a victim of a female Russian spy posing as an American accountant for using a false identity and burrowing her way into the employ of a major Democratic donor in hopes of gaining intelligence on Hillary Clinton's State Department. And so, you know, we're led to believe that poor Hillary is just a victim. She never knew any of this, even though she's been instrumental in kind of spearheading these pay-for-play schemes, these quid pro quo schemes for decades. You know, I like the way that Rush Limbaugh put Whitewater. What was Whitewater? It was the Clintons' scam to bilk seniors out of their retirement and their savings. You sell someone something they can ill afford, and then when you have to kick them out onto the street, then you rinse and repeat. Go find another elderly person that can ill afford the property, the oceanfront property in Arizona. Rinse and repeat. That's Hillary Clinton in a nutshell. And Bill Clinton, William Jefferson Clinton. Anyway, Trump to declare opioid epidemic, public health emergency. I already talked about that. The JFK files, we talked about that. Unbelievable. Wish I could find that headline. We'll come back to that I was looking for specifically. Anyway, the big news, though, I think was really, you know, as far as the state of the union is concerned, so to speak, a couple of big stories. The Fusion GPS dossier narrative is unraveling at breakneck speed and picking up momentum. But speaking of Tucker Carlson, last night's segment, Tucker asked the question, why won't the FBI answer basic questions on Russia? Why are we getting stonewalled on that? That's a good piece. So maybe we'll give that a listen real quick. And then I want to get to the Las Vegas situation. It's ridiculous. I mean, beyond ridiculous. Beyond words, ridiculous what's happening. So we'll talk about that next. But even the Washington Post and CNN are reporting. Washington Post broke the story Tuesday, and now even CNN is running stories like this. Clinton campaign, DNC helped fund dossier research. And admitting that, finally, you know, after folks like Jake Tapper reported that, you know, this alleged dossier may or may not be credible, but we should listen to it. And Donald Trump's a horrible person because of allegations. Anyway, this was Tucker Carlson last night. Go ahead, please.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. It's been nearly 4 weeks since Stephen Paddock committed the deadliest shooting in modern American history. Tonight we have brand new exclusive information from a government source given to us just hours ago, and it's remarkable. The Las Vegas security guard, the only eyewitness to this shooting, left this country shortly after it took place. We'll tell you where he went and what it may mean in just a minute. But first, The law of unintended consequences remains in force in Washington tonight. An investigation designed to uncover Republican collusion with a foreign power has unearthed just the opposite. We now know that the most powerful Democratic lobbying firm in Washington was at the very center of Russian efforts to shape American politics and policy. The Podesta Group, founded by Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman and his brother, took money from Russian interests to influence the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton's State Department. It turns out there were indeed Russian agents in Washington. They were working with Democrats. Meanwhile, we have also solved much of the mystery around the infamous Trump dossier, that collection of salacious and in many cases totally made up allegations that BuzzFeed credulously ran earlier this year as a news story. The dossier was assembled by a former British intelligence agent called Chris Steele. Steele was originally paid by a still anonymous Republican donor who was hoping to undermine the Trump campaign during the primaries. We've known that for a while. But what we've just learned, and what has turned this story and Washington itself on its head, is that once the Republican primaries finished, the Trump dossier project was funded by Hillary Clinton's own presidential campaign and also by the DNC. Democrats have been lying about that explicitly for more than a year, but it's true, it turns out. Hillary's former spokesman conceded on television tonight that Hillary herself may have known about it because, of course, she did. More shocking, though, the FBI apparently may have also paid Chris Steele to dig up dirt on Trump. How did they do this? Why did they do this? We still don't know, because so far the FBI has ignored subpoenas sent to them 2 months ago by House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes. We'll be talking to him later in the show. All of this raises some serious questions. First and most important, is it even legal? There are a number of federal laws that prohibit politicians from paying foreign nationals for campaign work, yet Hillary Clinton and the Democratic National Committee apparently paid Chris Steele for that dossier. Isn't that against the law? Presumably, we'll find out fairly soon. Next, why was the FBI involved in this in the way that it was? The agency has 35,000 employees. It's got unmatched resources and expertise. It's the FBI. Why would it even consider going to a private investigator to do research on a president-elect? Keep in mind, this isn't the first time the FBI has outsourced a major investigation. Recall that federal agents never actually examined the DNC servers after they were supposedly hacked by an outside party during the campaign. Instead, the FBI relied on the work of a DNC contractor called CrowdStrike, which assured them and the rest of us that Russia was behind that hacking. But wait, why would the FBI do that? Did anyone at the Justice Department consider that hiring third-party actors with unclear motives to conduct a high-profile investigation might be an excellent way for, say, foreign intelligence operations to sow chaos and promote their agendas? At the very least, wouldn't CrowdStrike's claims be colored by their natural desire to make their employer, the Democratic Party, happy? It's nuts. And by the way, by working so closely with a group conducting partisan research for a partisan political campaign, didn't the FBI compromise its political independence, its all-important political independence? Another thing, to conduct research for the dossier, Chris Steele had extensive contact, of course he did, with Russian sources, some of them connected to the Kremlin directly. So if the Clinton campaign was paying for Steele's research, why weren't they, in effect, colluding with Russia? Irony of ironies. And maybe most important of all, why is the FBI refusing to answer basic questions from Congress? Our government is not supposed to work like that. The FBI is not its own country. It's not a private organization. It isn't elected by voters. It has no inherent legitimacy except to the extent it obeys the laws that citizens, you and me, voted for. The FBI can't decide to ignore the Congress of the United States. That's obstruction. It's also scary. If federal agents with guns aren't accountable to the Congress or to the president they work for, who are they accountable to? Who's really in charge? Suddenly, you're looking at something resembling an occupying army and not a legitimate federal agency. And that's when things start to fall apart.
Great points. Great points. I mean, it really can't be said much better than that as far as what Tucker Carlson pointed out. And there's more, obviously, but that's interesting. So, in addition to that, we're seeing the burning of bridges. The power establishment is sacrificing its own to some degree, it seems. And you know, earlier this year, when Ben Swan broke the Pizzagate story wide open with his reality check on the subject, and then subsequently vanished from public view, people laughed at the that were not familiar and acquainted with the facts at the insinuation that somehow cheese pizza had something to do with human trafficking and child pornography and so forth. But late last week, of course, we learned that a state corrections officer from Lodi, who allegedly tried to arrange a meeting with an 8-year-old girl and received photos of other children, is currently suspended without pay. Stephen Salmack, 37, was charged last week with possession of child pornography, provided compliments of the FBI, of course, in this case, specifically images. Well, we won't mention that. But, you know, as the story goes, Salmack first came on the radar of authorities in May when an undercover officer responded to a Craigslist ad placed by Salmack seeking, quote, woman slash moms that are interested in cheese pizza. So we have that. We have the Bruce Paddock story, which is interesting. We'll get to that more in a second. But first, let's go to the phones and grab John in Tennessee. John, thanks for calling. Welcome.
I appreciate it. Before I get to my point, has anyone heard from Fred in Iowa? Is he okay?
That's a good question. Don't know.
Well, I hadn't heard, so I hope he calls. Listen, Chris, when you were talking about the television stations being easier to be owned by one group, what came to mind, you know, when you live a little while, you remember breaking up of Ma Bell and anti-monopoly laws, and then you see them all coming back together. The banks are merging, the communications are merging, there's no more local newspapers, they're controlling the media. I think eventually we're going to see regional news, where you're going to have different news in the Southeast and Southwest and Mountain States. You're going to be told something different, and eventually the internet will go away, and no one will ever know what the truth is and have a very hard time trying to figure it out. And when that happens, yeah, it's hard enough right now, but when they regionalize this and you're getting a different truth in every area of the country, and maybe being limited as to your travels, who knows what's coming? You're not going to know who your enemy is or what the truth is, and it all goes back to what we talk about so much, the secret decoder ring. You may not know the specifics, but we know who's in control. And I would beg people, time is growing short. Make sure you make matters right for your future. And with that, I'll leave it at that. Hopefully we'll hear from Fred and Renee as well. I haven't heard her, so I'm concerned about both of them. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, John. Yeah. If you guys are listening, Fred, Renee, feel free to call in. Yeah, to John's point about the fragmenting or the compartmentalizing of information, I always think of Richard N. Gardner's piece in The Hard Road to World Order, or his piece titled The Hard Road to World Order, published in the CFR's Foreign Affairs Journal, the quarterly publication, and this back in spring of 1974. But he, you know, of course, we know that quote, the, you know, an end run on sovereignty eroding it piece by piece will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault, which we've seen. I mean, there is no denying the end run on sovereignty eroding it piece by piece, pressing the limits of the document, meaning the Constitution and Orthodox Bill of Rights. Stick around, we'll be right back.
homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns, their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down, the fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance, he's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back. So to John's point about the compartmentalization of information, and from Richard N. Gardner's piece, The Hard Road to World Order, point number 8 that he mentions, as the Intelsat conferences or conference has foreshadowed, and in accordance with responsibilities already lodged in principle in the International Telecommunication Union, the ITU, and the United Nations, oh boy, see these groups where – we are offshoring control and direction. You have no involvement. Don't worry about it. Let the technocrats run all that stuff. As Alan Watt has pointed out, it's messy. When people are involved, it's messy. Just let the experts, the self-appointed, self-proclaimed experts, run everything. Anyway, this is back in 1974. And, of course, the interwebs were foreshadowed. 1969, the ARPANET, of course, gave rise or birth to what is today known as the internet. contrary to what Al Gore believes, just kidding, the regulations that kind of paved the way for the modern interwebs. But continuing from Richard N. Gardner's piece, he wrote, "New rules and institutions will almost certainly be created to regulate emerging communication technologies, notably direct broadcasting from satellites, while providing some safeguards against the unwanted intrusion of foreign broadcasts." Yeah, we don't want those disrupting our propaganda. "These arrangements will aim to maximize the potential for using satellite communications to promote trade and economic development." And that's, you know, in technocratic terms, of course. "As well as world culture and understanding via, you know, what is it, think global and act local nonsense. To promote trade and economic development, as well as world culture and understanding. Ways will vary. Likely be found to give the United Nations and other international agencies access to this new technology for both operational and informational purposes." I mean, that's about as plain as you can be about it. So, John, I think John's point is very well observed. The ITU and other agencies will probably be given new powers to allocate radio frequencies and satellite parking orbits among other orbits among users. So that's just, again, that is the point. And, you know, speaking of this, I have been very encouraged to see the reemergence of ham radio. And you see it advertised on RBN, which is fantastic. There's some great advertisers on RBN these days, by the way. I think that AR Outfitting is one of those. And there are a number of others. They're fantastic. So, but getting back to the big story, I would say the Las Vegas story. We need to get to the latest developments in that. It's been more than 3 weeks, nearly four, as Tucker Carlson pointed out. You heard earlier with a little kind of nod to the big story. If you haven't already heard, which I'm sure you probably have, it's been more than 3 weeks since allegedly the worst mass shooting in modern American history. And yet, what do we know? All that we are led to believe is that both the alleged hero and villain of the incident are ghosts, which is interesting. But as I conjectured last week, while nothing adds up, and as more questions continue to arise, they just keep stacking up, the official position of the LVMPD and the FBI is to give no further press conferences, in spite of, or perhaps due to, an extremely suspicious and ever-shifting official narrative. It's feeling more like a usual suspects scenario all the time. So who is the real Kaiser Soze wagging the dog in this case? And as Tucker Carlson put it last night, missing hard drives, mysterious burglaries, bungled timelines. And now we have brand new information from a key government source regarding the Las Vegas security guard, the alleged hero of the story. You know, according to the initial timeline and folks like Ellen DeGeneres, it's interesting as the chat area, one of the chat area folks, participants observed last week, Ellen DeGenerate is a moniker that's been floating around, an alias, and degeneration theory is an interesting read. Reminds me of Marshall McLuhan's Medium is the Message and the gradual and planned decline of American society, which is why I always raise the point of virtue, morality, and religion. That is the answer. Anyway, the security guard who was the only eyewitness to the massacre, we'll talk more about that when we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
My friends feel as their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, yeah, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, they don't all that use me stuff. I want to spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up, until you use me up. My brother sent me right down and he talked to me.
Welcome back. So let's talk about the Las Vegas incident that powers that shouldn't be are trying to do the little Jedi mind trick wave and wave away. Remember these words? Go ahead.
There's a lot of information I do know, okay? But it's an ongoing investigation, and when I say I do not know, I may know, but...
Yeah, that's hilarious, isn't it? So let's take that together with you know, we haven't seen, it's been more than 3 weeks now, and even Special Agent in Charge Aaron Rouse said they had already at the last press conference, he said we've combed through hundreds of hours of video surveillance footage. There are dozens of cameras in the area, surveillance camera and CCTV cameras in the area. Why still haven't we seen a single image of Stephen Craig Paddock anywhere in Las Vegas, anywhere in the month of October 2017, let alone in Mandalay Bay? And on that note, the words of former FBI Assistant Director Chris Swecker echo in my head constantly. Go ahead, please.
Incredible.
So he was getting a lot of firepower out there.
Incredible. So much, I guess, we'll get on surveillance tape and the rest about his goings on that hallway, if he were moving around and in and out of the hotel, yeah. Right?
In painful detail. I think we're going to see the hotel video. He apparently videoed himself. I think we're going to get an unusually detailed account of his movements and video of him actually smuggling his weapons up, setting up his firing positions. I think in the next day or two, we're going to see some video that's going to shock us all.
All right. Chris, always appreciate your expertise. Chris Swecker, the former FBI assistant director. So much we don't know, but maybe to Chris's point, when they get video on some of this other stuff, including the assailant's own video, maybe we'll be able to dot some I's, cross some T's. Maybe not. Maybe you just never know.
Maybe you just never know. You know, Chris Swecker says we're going to get an unusually vivid picture in all kinds of detail of his goings, him videoing himself and all kinds of, you know, we should have lots of, we don't have a single image yet. It's interesting to note that you can watch some of the local, coverage of local incidents. There was the man who was punched, who was sucker punched and died. There's surveillance footage of the assailant walking up and punching the guy at the ATM. And then there's other footage floating around in the, I think it was Channel 13 Las Vegas that reported that there's video surveillance footage of the assailant and his buddy running down the street. So, you know, for things like that and other incidents, there's surveillance footage. There are obviously clips, still shots from that footage and things. And we don't have any of that for Stephen Craig Paddock. Why is Jesus Campos not a suspect? Why is Brian Hodge, who was allegedly staying in room 32134, the adjoining room to the suite 135, why is he not a suspect? Questions continue to mount, and you know, we hear the big item authorities did not find in Stephen Craig Paddock's room is the missing hard drive. We're only hearing about this now. Fox News reported yesterday Las Vegas shooter's laptop missing its hard drive. Paddock is believed to have removed the hard drive before fatally shooting himself, and the missing device has not yet been recovered, sources told ABC News. So ABC News reports that Paddock's hard drive, so he removed his hard drive before fatally shooting himself. Surprised we're not being told that he Vince Fostered himself and shot himself in the back of the head twice. So why have we just learned about the development of the missing hard drive? Why did it take 3 weeks to find that out? And we know that from press conferences, the FBI took all of the digital media as part of the investigation. And we hear in these incidents, you know, stuff like this. In the ABC News story, ABC News is pointing to, it's interesting, the headline, Las Vegas shooter's laptop missing its hard drive. It's always interesting to see how these stories try to shape the narrative. The end of that article, has these words. Paddock, however, left behind no such writings. Other mass shooters in the United States have left behind writings or manifestos explaining their actions, which reminds me of that scene in Shooter. Yeah, you should, you know, you wrote a great suicide note. Paddock, however, left behind no such writings or evidence. He is not the first mass shooter to destroy or hide digital clues. See, this is trying to normalize the abnormal. In 2007, Virginia Tech shooter Sung-hee Cho removed the hard drive of his computer and disposed of his cell phone shortly before the massacre. Right, because that's normal. You're going to do a thing and you just, of course, you're going to destroy all of the digital evidence. Authorities even searched a pond for the missing digital media, but the devices were never recovered. The 2008 Northern Illinois shooter removed the SIM card from his phone and the hard drive from his laptop, and neither was recovered. In 2012, Sandy Hook shooter Adam Lanza had removed the hard drive from his computer and smashed it with a hammer or screwdriver. So we're led to believe this is normal. So Stephen Paddock is about to shoot up the crowd at the Route 91 Harvest Festival, and he removes the hard drive from his laptop and disposes of it where? Sheriff Lombardo said he believes Stephen Craig Paddock intended to escape. If so, why would he remove a laptop hard drive? And where could he possibly have disposed of a hard drive in Mandalay Bay before fatally shooting himself, of course, where it would not have been discovered, where it wouldn't have been located? How is that possible? So he is about to do the, you know, about to commit the act. So he removes the hard drive from his laptop because he plans on escaping, which doesn't make any sense. Where would he hide it where it would not be discovered? Again, we still don't have a single image of Stephen Craig Paddock anywhere in Las Vegas in the month of October 2017. And the latest revelations about Jesus Campos are as shocking as ever. This is Tucker Carlson on the exclusive that he broke last night. Go ahead, please.
We received this document from a confidential source this afternoon. It's a Customs and Border Patrol form, and it shows that Jesus Campos entered the United States from Mexico at the San Ysidro border crossing in San Diego County almost exactly to the hour 1 week after the Las Vegas shooting at the beginning of October. Now, the document does not reveal how long Campos had been in Mexico. Our source told us that Campos entered the U.S. at the same crossing in January of this year. At that time, he was driving his own vehicle with Nevada plates. And yet, in this document from a little over 2 weeks ago, Campos was driving what appears to be a rental car with California plates. Now, this information raises a number of questions about the Las Vegas investigation and the crime itself. Jesus Campos is the only eyewitness to the biggest mass shooting in modern American history. At the time he was in Mexico, the press was reporting that investigators thought Paddock, Stephen Paddock, may have had an accomplice in these killings. Why did authorities allow Campos to leave the country just days after the shooting, while the investigation was still chaotic and, of course, ongoing? How did Campos, who reportedly had a gunshot wound to the leg from a high-powered rifle round, manage to travel to Mexico? Did he fly? Did he drive? Was his employer aware that he left the country? Were investigators aware? Did they facilitate the trip? What day did Campos get to Mexico? How was he able to drive back for hundreds of miles from the San Diego border back to Las Vegas? Why did he take a rental car instead of his own car? The union that represents Campos told us they were aware that he left the country. They claim it was a pre-planned visit. Why did it take a government leak for the rest of us to find that out? Why has MGM been so intent on controlling availability to Campos, booking him on the Ellen DeGeneres show and shielding him from press inquiries? Why did he appear with a co-worker in the Ellen interview rather than solo? Why did Ellen ask only leading softball questions? Why have so many people gone to so much trouble to shape the story of Jesus Campos? ABC spoke to Campos on October 4th. Was he in Mexico when they talked to him? Did they know where he was when they talked to him? What do we actually know about Jesus Campos? For example, is he really a licensed security guard? We checked today, and it turns out he's not registered with the state of Nevada's Private Investigators Licensing Board. Confused by this, we called the Clark County Sheriff to find out what license is required to be a security guard at a Las Vegas casino. The sheriff's office refused to tell us this. Jesus Campos is a victim, the spokesman said. We don't speak about victims. Naturally, we repeated the question. He became angry. He started yelling, and ultimately hung up on us. Which raises the question, why won't authorities answer basic questions about Jesus Campos? And here are a few more. Does Jesus Campos have a criminal record? Not attacking him? It's an honest and obvious question. What exactly did he do for the hotel? Had he ever had previous contact with Stephen Paddock? How exactly was Campos injured? Countless press reports claim he was shot in the leg with a rifle round from an AR-15 style rifle, probably a NATO 5.56 round. That bullet travels at three times the speed of a handgun round. It could easily destroy a man's leg, and often does. Given that, how could Campos possibly have driven 700 miles from Las Vegas to the Mexican border and back less than a week later? And then there's Stephen Paddock, the shooter. We still know essentially nothing about him. Even the most basic questions about his behavior remain unanswered, such as, how did he get access to the hotel's freight elevator? How many other hotel guests had that access? Does surveillance video from the casino show Paddock entering the elevator alone or with others? Had he used that elevator before? If so, how often and why was he using that elevator? More broadly, had Stephen Paddock ever previously appeared on the radar of the FBI? Here was a man gambling millions of dollars and stockpiling weapons and ammunition. His name was all over federal databases. Nobody in law enforcement noticed him? We learned today that Paddock's computer is missing its hard drive. Why did it take nearly a month for investigators to tell us that? Did they just find out themselves? We don't know. What do we really know about Paddock or his family? His brother was recently arrested on child pornography charges. Was that part of a separate investigation? Was it related to this case? How many family members does he have exactly? Was he in regular contact with them? Did they have any reason to believe he was planning an attack? And by the way, where's his girlfriend? We could go on. The point is, this story gets murkier by the day, and that is the opposite of what is supposed to happen. It's impossible to know exactly what is going on with the Vegas shooting. We're not going to speculate. But it's obvious that there is lying and incompetence at the heart of it.
That's about as well as it can be put, I would say, wouldn't you? And as far as Bruce Paddock is concerned, that's an interesting wrinkle in this story too. So you follow the story, and basically what you're led to believe is the Las Vegas shooting suspect's homeless brother had 600 child pornography pics in an auto garage lot or in the attic where he had set up surveillance cameras to view on what. And they say, you know, that he would review the footage at his home. What home? This logical fallacy of circular reasoning is absurd. Again, all we can deduce is that we're supposed to suspend critical thinking. And then there was that piece. Remember I mentioned Brian over at High Impact Flicks pointing to YouTube channel Hangman 1128 footage. And what's most interesting is what you don't see. No bullet holes anywhere in anything. Here's a clip from that.
My shots are coming from gate 7. Gate 7. Shots are coming from gate 7.
Why is there not one single frame of Stephen Paddock going in and out of heavily surveilled Mandalay Bay or checking in at the front desk? There are many questions a critically thinking person could ask that would fatally challenge the ever-changing official story, which has more holes in it than the asphalt and buildings at the concert area in Las Vegas that was supposedly riddled with hundreds upon hundreds of rounds from a crazed 64-year-old professional gambler. This brand new video right here comes from YouTuber Hangman1128. As of the recording of this video, he's already uploaded 4 parts. Each part is about 15 minutes long. And it looks like Hangman1128 has a high-resolution camera with exceptional zooming capabilities. Let's just say good enough to focus pretty clearly on this Allegiant flight departing the Las Vegas airport. As you'll see, he uses this camera to gather video data and possible evidence as FBI agents appear to be staging a cleanup on the concert grounds. Ask yourself why we don't see mainstream news reporters doing this. I encourage you to visit his channel and take a look at his videos. The more eyes we have on this, the better. If you find something of interest, write down the video time block and share it in the comments section. My question to Hangman 1128 is, from where are you recording and what was the date and time of the recording? Now, let me point to a couple things I noticed in the first two videos. In part one, at 3:57, you can see these two CCTV cameras. If these cameras were operational, why hasn't the footage been released? And for that matter, why hasn't any CCTV camera footage been released? At around 6:44, there are no broken windows or bullet holes anywhere to be seen in the VIP suites that sit on the northeast side of the stage within the concert area. If you'll remember, This is the section of the concert area where people first reacted before gunfire was actually heard. In Hangman's Part 2 video, at about 4:56, you see no holes in the stage roof. At 5:15, there are no holes in the building on the Mandalay Bay side of the stage. At 5:40, there are no holes on top or on the side of the mobile units or the gray transformers or even the white tents. At 6:59, there are no holes in the side of the white tanks that stand directly to the east of the concert area. At 7:30, there are no holes in the side of the small building standing between the stage and Mandalay Bay. I know I went over this from his first video, but if you'll take note, there are no broken windows or even chipped paint. For more of this footage so you can see this for yourself, check out Hangman 1128's videos and let us know what you come up with. By the way,
there
you
go.
Want to see what a 7.62 by 30...
I mean, that's you know, it's pretty obvious that there's something funny going on. It's a cover-up, but it's beyond the usual narrative. You know, you have the same elements in this, and there are all kinds of oddities. One of the latest oddities that I haven't even spoken about is, you know, and to the casual observer, and I go back to Clark's Third Law all the time. If you're not well versed in these kinds of events, if you're not familiar with the fact that the intelligence community has a long and storied career of false flag attacks, even on its own people, so-called, the Cuba Project and Operation Northwoods is kind of the emblematic example. If you're not familiar with that, and you know, read the declassified documents, realize that that includes staging funerals for alleged victims and all kinds of other just, you know, who thinks up this kind of evil? It's really awful and disgusting to think that there are people among us who would actually attack their own people as a means to garnering widespread public support to do some awful thing. I'm surprised we're not hearing staged events blamed on North Korea, for example. Anyway, to the casual observer unfamiliar with this kind of nonsense, unfamiliar with the fact that the highest levels of military brass in the national military establishment have plotted to attack their own people. If you're not familiar with Trevor Aronson's TED Talk, for example, titled "How This FBI Strategy Is Actually Creating U.S.-Based Terrorists," if you don't understand, the FBI is notorious for creating the alleged terrorists and criminals it catches. If you don't understand, the CIA has a long and storied career of creating, in Machiavellian fashion, a paper enemy that fires real bullets. Operation Cyclone is the most prevalent example, as it's the gift that keeps on giving, that created Al-Qaeda, the Mujahideen, et cetera. If you're not familiar with that, then you don't understand that, in my opinion, as I always say, I would look there first. You don't understand that possibility. And therefore, again, Clark's Third Law kind of comes into play. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And in a similar sense, when you see these kinds of events, if you're not familiar with that background and the nuances of it, then it sounds like magic when someone, "Oh, Chris, you know, you think that the FBI would actually be involved in something like this?" Yeah, actually, I believe the FBI would stage and fabricate an event like this far more than I would believe some 64-year-old guy, for no apparent reason, would plan something, you know. And it's interesting, you know, listening to Aaron Cohen, for example, on Fox News, talking about, you know, snapped. What triggered him? What triggered him? And the Fox News host says it was a long, slow triggering over a period of time, because he planned it, spent over $100,000 on firearms. Maybe he was having money trouble, so he spent $100,000 on firearms, wired $100,000 to the Philippines for no apparent reason. And, I mean, come on. Nothing adds up in the official narrative, if you can even call it that at this point. But if you're unfamiliar with how these things work, then you don't know. And it sounds like magic when someone suggests that. But the thing that I was going to mention that I haven't even mentioned yet is, the giant, a presidential motorcade pales in comparison to ceremony that LVMPD gave for Officer Charleston Hartfield. And it's interesting that you'll notice that the victims and decedents in particular, and I do believe that people actually died, and this is an awful, unfortunate tragedy. There is psychological trauma that the rest of the country suffers from. This is a tragedy, and I don't mean to diminish that in any way, but it's interesting when you're, to the scrutinous eye, it's interesting that there is very little evidence of existence for a lot of these folks, which coincides with false flag events. But Charleston Hartfield, the LVMPD officer that was honored, like I said, with a motorcade that makes a presidential motorcade pale by comparison, is interesting that, we're hearing now that his mother passed away, I think, a day or two after. And she passed away recently, and he left a note that said, "Remember me as I was." Things like this, to someone with a scrutinous and discerning eye, they're very suspicious. The occasional odd coincidence is one thing, but as Mike Rogers pointed out with regard to Benghazi and the White House's initial ridiculous narrative, the fabrication that the White House cooked up, there are, the first thing you learn as a young FBI agent, Mike Rogers said, is that there are coincidences, but they're not likely. And there are innumerable coincidences in this event, aren't there? They just keep stacking up and stacking up. None of the story makes sense. The Bruce Paddock revelation is not revelational. The Daily Mail pointed to TMZ's reporting, which is also sort of anomalous. TMZ is suddenly a credentialed media outlet or something. It's interesting how, they've broken several stories in the Las Vegas shooting story. So the Daily Mail pointed to TMZ's reporting on the 4th and 5th of Bruce Paddock. It's not news, but we're hearing about it again now. It's all very strange. Anyway, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.